Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguars This Week, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, truth is what we're all about here. Jaguars This Week on a big Wednesday night before we take off for New Orleans tomorrow and Friday night's contest between the Jags and the Saints. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, John Osher, Tony Boselli, and our entire cast here ready to take someone down for the second straight week. Who's it going to be, Big Bull?
Well, you know, last week we worked on the NFL Network boys and some of the national media. And it went well. at least for us.
Are you going to try and incite somebody to call in again today?
They can call in if they like, but I don't know about you guys.
Are you calling anybody out?
Yeah, I'm
not. Are you just making general?
Well, I'll call out Pro Football Talk and one of the nitwits that writes for that organization. I don't know who they are. And I don't really care what their names are, frankly, because it's not worth my time to memorize those names.
Are we recording this? Because this should be tweeted later.
Yeah. It started as I get in my car to drive home, Jeff. Friday night after the game.
Okay.
And it continued via Twitter and some sites.
So you were listening to the national radio?
No, I was listening to our own postgame.
I was going to say, if you weren't, what in the world?
I was listening to our postgame. It started there. And immediately I hear calls about Blaine being scared in the pocket and the chuck and duck. And I'm sitting there thinking back and going through my mind of the game I just called. And as far as I was concerned, I thought Blaine played well. We talked about B+ overall. Don't recall him cowering in the pocket. Didn't see any of that. But somehow, the calls are about that. I think it was specifically the play where the free rusher is coming at him, unblocked.
Right. And he was throwing to
LeRon. And he's trying to throw it across the middle. And after he throws it, he gets down. And I'm thinking, I've seen every quarterback in this league do that.
Routinely. It's what you do.
I've seen maybe the greatest quarterback ever, Peyton Manning, fall down so he wouldn't get hit. Because there was nowhere to go. The play was dead.
And in that same game, Tony, when Aaron Ross blitzed and was pressuring Eli Manning.
And barely touched him.
He ducked in the if you even call it a duck. He did the exact same thing that Blaine Gabbert did.
Oh, he rolled away.
Was that?
He kind of went to the side.
Which is, by the way.
I'm going to be honest here now. In the game broadcast, I said that's one play that I didn't like.
Right.
And the reason I didn't like it is not because he ducked. I mean, you got to protect yourself if you're a quarterback. It's that he is athletically gifted enough to almost become Ben Roethlisberger in that situation, that see it, identify it, and then make a play.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to see.
That analysis
but
is fine.
But when it happened, I said, the first thought that popped into my mind was, oh, no, here's for the anti-Gabbert, mm-hmm. You know, his eyes are low, the Michael Lombardis of the world, this is going to be a play that they're going to want to show.
I don't need to hear from the post-game show, callers calling in, my Twitter blowing up, the football sites like Pro Football Talk saying he regressed. And it's the same old Blaine Gabbert, and he's afraid of contact, questioning his toughness, basically calling him a coward in the pocket. It is bad analysis. It's bad reporting. It's not the truth, and you cannot watch that game and say Blaine Gabbert did not progress with a huge step forward. And the problem I have with it is these people had made their mind up before the game ever started. They had the story written, and they had decided, and they were waiting for anything to write that story. And it's flabbergasting.
Yeah, I go back to we had Blaine on Jaguars All Access. Can I get a cha-ching? By the way, can I get a cha-ching? Maybe. Thank you. Okay. By the way, yes, Joe's on the phone. The first program of Jaguars All Access there this past Monday. If you missed it, folks, too bad. Tune in next Monday.
I thought we were excellent, by the way.
I thought we did a great job.
I did too. Emmy.
I mean,
congratulations.
Really, I thought me and Tony. I mean,
frankly, they could do the whole show just with us. But I don't want to.
It's just our opinion.
Are you committing to be there every Monday night?
If I'm not working on Monday night, if Jeff and I can take the whole show for a half hour, I'm there.
Oh, we'd rip a half an hour in no time.
Talking's not the problem. Stopping is.
Back to last year with Jaguars All Access from when we had Blaine Gabbert on.
Last show of the year.
Can I get one more, please? Am I begging for the cha-ching? Thank you. I'd asked the question to Blaine. I said, you know, are you mentally tough enough? Because I knew that, I mean, you knew that once you get that persona that gets put out there,
yep,
whether it's perception or reality, perception sometimes is reality, and you got to deal with it. And he answered straight to the question, yes, I am tough enough. And he is tough, and he's mentally tough, and that's what he's got to have to have, because, Tony, that's going to happen.
I understand that, but my problem is it's unfair. It's not accurate. You don't watch football. You don't watch the rest of the quarterbacks in this league and what they do when they know there's no play. Now, I will go with Jeff. Could he have made an athletic move because he's so athletic? Probably. But for to question what he did is not fair. And I went to the next level, and I asked Mark Brunell. Quarterback, played a long time, has been on a lot of different teams.
Oh, he chucked and ducked all the time.
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
I'm just having fun.
Played with Drew Brees, played in New York,
right,
played in the Redskins, played here. I said, Mark, what did you think of Blaine? Thought he played well, looked good. I said, what about that chuck and duck play? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, you know the one where he had the free rusher right in his face and he just kind of threw it and then got down? He says, yeah, so every quarterback in the league does that.
You know what the impressive thing of that play is to me is that as off balance as he was trying to make sure that he lived to play another play, the ball almost got there.
Well, and I was told that if LaRon had not hesitated in his route, it would have been a completion.
Well, the route I don't think was exactly what he wanted.
Wasn't right.
But, I mean, to still have the ability to make that throw, the best throw of the night by far was the out route to LaRon Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, timing, accuracy, velocity, it had it all. And to me, this week in practice, and I said this to you, John.
Yeah.
When we were out there, you noticed something different about this offense this week. It's almost as if instead of, okay, we had a good start, we're getting there, and we can kind of cruise here, it was almost as if they got a boost of confidence in practice, and it started on Sunday, it carried through on Monday. They had a tough red zone drill on Tuesday,
right.
I believe it was. I didn't see today, first day in pads that I've missed all training camp.
Not as good as yesterday, but not bad.
But I mean, to me,
it was really good.
You almost got the impression that they finally had some success Friday night, and they went back and looked at the film and went, you know what? We can be pretty good.
I will guarantee you one thing. This offense will move the ball this year, they will throw it effectively, and Blaine Gabbert will have a productive year as a second-year quarterback. There's not a doubt in my mind that that will happen. And for the knuckleheads, just stop tweeting me. Stop writing stupid things that make no sense because you don't watch. You didn't watch, and you were looking for one thing. And it's not fair. And I'm not saying the world's fair. Blaine's – I guarantee it bothers Blaine a lot less than it bothers me. But to make that comment after that game is absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense.
You know, if you really wanted to, you could pretty much support any agenda that you may have,
yep,
by hand-picking a play here or a play there.
Well, how about a picture, letting a picture tell the story? Remember that play from early in the game?
Yeah, the one where
first play of the game.
Where Blaine was
first,
under
first
duress.
First drive of the game. I'm not sure what the first play.
Justin Tuck.
It was the first play of the game. He drops back his play action
first
pass.
Play.
He's trying to hit
because they're trying to hit Mercedes on the seam route. That was the first play, by the way, that the winners from the Medicine Miracles event got to call the play.
Okay.
And
Jason Weingart, by the way, just sent this to me via Twitter. Jason, thank you. And I'm going to retweet it at Jags Voice so you can see it.
He looks scared there.
He's standing in there. Logs, you want to describe that? He's standing in there.
Justin Tuck is hitting him, by the way, illegally to the head.
We'll talk about
all of his weight. Of his weight is on the front foot.
Right. He's standing right in there. So here's the thing. You talk about the national perception, and it's a glass ceiling, and it's tough to break. The reality of it is that it's on one play, and if they would go back and look at the entire body of 24 snaps, they would be impressed with what he had done.
But they
because
won't do
of
that.
Last year, they won't do it.
I'll give you two things.
It's a preconceived notion.
Of being critical of Blaine Gabbert during that game. And I didn't think of it until Log said it. As athletic as he is, he probably could have tried to make a play to get away from that rusher because he's so athletic. But in fairness to him, he thought LaRon Robinson was coming across the middle. He was trying to make a play and get down.
Okay.
And the only other play was the sack fumble in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know if there's nowhere to go, tuck that ball, take a sack, and you can't turn it over there.
Dylan, right? those things all come with experience
but
and comfort and
plays.
Offense. I know. I'm with you, man.
And guess what? I could go through and watch Eli Manning, and I guarantee you I could find two plays and be critical of.
Well, there was one that Aaron Ross came in on the blitz, and he was leaning out of there and hurt.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier. I mean, if Blaine Gabbert had done what Eli Manning did on that play, it would have been the lead story on Pro Football Talk.
Mm-hmm. Again, Jason.
It would have been.
Weingart sent another photo, and it's Paul Posluszny rushing, and it's him rolling out, like you said earlier, ducking
rolling,
out of the play.
Rolling away.
You know why he's ducking?
Because he's going to get hit.
Because he doesn't want to get hit in the mouth.
So, again, at Jags, JAGSVOICE, Jason sent them to me. I have retweeted them out if you want to see them. And maybe Evan Silva and the guys at Pro Football Talk should see those too.
And John, you covered Peyton Manning for a long time.
Sure.
I've done a bunch of radio games with Peyton as the quarterback. How many times have you seen Peyton, when he knows there's nowhere to go, I've seen him just go down and
right.
say, I'm done.
One of the mission statements of that franchise when they drafted Peyton Manning was that he would not get hurt. They wanted him to be their quarterback for 15 or 20 years.
They did pretty well.
Well, and that, you know, I got an email from somebody, a couple of days ago, said, ask Mark if he wished he'd avoided getting hit in the preseason in 97 when he tore up his knee. You know, you protect yourself, especially in the preseason, you protect yourself, but as a quarterback, you have to protect yourself because you're too important to the franchise in this day and age not to.
All right, we need a break. More to come, much more to come over the next hour and 40 minutes or so. Jaguars This Week rolls along, Joe.
All right, now who read the cards last week? No, I didn't. You read the cards last week for the two-hour show.
Oh.
Do you want me to read the cards?
I do.
Okay.
You do it
Hang
so well.
On, I'll read the cards. Jaguars This Week. As a proud sponsor, Bueller Swiss Watch Company. They're available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. More Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguar season tickets, group tickets, and 5-game packs, also single-game tickets, on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
Yeah, and then one official's pointing it out to the referee saying,
real subtle.
You need your flag here.
Don't look. It's back there at the 35-yard
line. Yep, just kind of casually walk back there and grab it.
We shut the play down because you left the flag on the play. We'll reset the 25-second.
You've got to give him credit.
He admitted it.
He admitted it.
I like it. There was a little incorrectness in there.
Yeah.
He used the term we.
Yeah.
And it should have been I forgot my flag.
Well, and the cut doesn't do it justice because he walked back to face the West stands in the press box, and he just kind of casually pointed to the flag. You know? I mean, that a normal official, a regular official, would go grab the flag and run back to the huddle and wind the clock, and away you go.
Do we want to talk about the officials or –
I don't think we need to. I mean, there were some missed calls. There were replacement officials.
Yes, missed calls are one thing. Butchering the rules at the end of the game that allowed.
That's the one worth mentioning.
Allowed a team another play in a one possession game.
Well, we got it right on the radio broadcast. Yes. All they had to do was listen to us, and they could have gotten it correct.
You should hit that twice. One for each of us.
And I said 10 second runoff.
Absolutely.
No timeouts left.
And that was everyone I talked to this week. That was their understanding.
The bottom line is there's no play. It's over. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, I actually was hoping I was right on a radio broadcast, and so I go back
I knew
and read the rule book to confirm it. And
we said on TV
right.
It was either a 10-second runoff or the ball, as soon as the ball is spotted, the clock runs.
Yeah, and in that situation, the rule book reads is that if the offending team is out of timeouts, then there will be a 10-second runoff. Otherwise, if they had a timeout – then they could use the timeout in that situation and have an additional play.
Right.
So there should not have been a last play of the game. And you're not going to hear a lot of complaining about it. I mean, because most people get it. I mean, they're replacement officials. You know, the NFL rule book is very vast.
But, Jeff, that's not okay. What if that would have been a regular season game and we have the replacement officials and it's opening weekend and you're playing?
Then I think Jaguar fans would have been upset about the Aaron Ross call, the lack of the head.
Yeah, but I'm not just saying forget
shot to Blaine and then that
the
call.
The fans are important, but how about just the fact that that could decide at the end of the year whether you're a wild card team, win the division, get in the playoffs? I mean, it wasn't even a judgment call. I understand them missing judgment calls. The officials who are the regular officials who are the best in the world miss judgment calls. That is a rule.
Well, do you remember they were about to line up and that NFL official, and I don't know his name, ran up the sidelines and stopped play. I thought at that point that they were going to get it correct.
I did too.
When he came back from underneath the hood and they said, you know, here's the play, what was it, 10, 12 seconds left, whatever it was, I remember thinking.
It was three for the last play.
Okay. 2 seconds.
Two. Okay. Well, there you go. When he stopped it, Loggy, I thought that was over. They got this rule right.
Well, the guys who have been calling it forever innately know the rules, and they have a sense of, you know, whoa, something's not right here. We need to ask each other, and they get it right. If you haven't called NFL games before, you don't have that innate sense,
no.
and that's what lacks.
And the whole management of the game was very poor, just discombobulated, out of sorts.
Well, it wasn't elite, and we're used to seeing the elite, the best.
Yeah, but that means not only did nobody on the field know the rules, he went to the booth.
No one told him.
So nobody upstairs knew what was going on either.
Yeah, and I think the people in the booth are not
allowed.
Well, they're not officials. You know, I think some of them may be ex-officials, but I don't know how the whole, you know, chemistry is supposed to work with these replacement officials if they're allowed to have input. But I know during a regular season game, you know, the interpretation of the rule book is left to the men on the field.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the guy up in the booth has no say in any of that.
Their job is just to review the video and then show the referee the video.
So I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I watched a few games, you know, after the Jaguars played, and obviously the Thursday night, the Monday night game, and I mean, yeah, they're missing some things, and you know, I think the players have to, you know, be somewhat concerned because, you know, I mean, player safety is at stake here, and there's a lot of rules that were put in place over the last couple of years that were strictly designed to protect the players. You know, I go and look at the one play in which the Philadelphia Eagle defensive back launched himself in the Byron Leftwich. I mean, that was clearly
a
launch.
The fact that Blaine gets hit in the head the first play of the game.
Well, and then a couple series later, Aaron Ross hit the back of the shoulder pads on a scrambling Manning. Remember, it was the 15-yard penalty
on third
down. Yeah,
and they called it a face mask, and that it let the Giants keep going. And then there was the other one where I think it was Rodgers jumped off sides, and when he jumps off sides, he makes, you know, contact with Blaine's head. You know, so off sides or personal foul, you know, dead ball, blow to the head of the quarterback.
Right.
You know what I mean? So. You know, I mean, I get it. These are replacement guys, and if they have to work the regular season, you know, hopefully they can improve these next 3 weeks because that's a steep learning curve, and that's tough.
It looks like a tough job. I mean, everything you read and hear about the negotiations between the league and the officials is that they're not going to get it done before the regular season, that we're going to go with the replacement officials week one.
That's what it looks like.
And I think that's a problem. Player safety and then competitive balance of, you know, these games, you get 16 of them. This isn't basketball. This isn't baseball where you have 162 and, you know, if you lose one in baseball, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
You lose one game in football.
If it's the right game.
It can make a big difference at the end of the year.
All right, folks, we have reached the end. You have something else? I'm sorry.
Please, everybody, forgive my ignorance. What are the refs looking for? Is it just money?
No, it's this
pension.
Other thing. It's
pension.
It's money. It's the number of people actually working. It's working rules about if some were to fail, can they be suspended?
They want a collective bargaining agreement.
You know, there's more to it than just money.
Okay.
No, but in the end, a lot of it comes down to money because pension is money and pay is money, and then working conditions. I mean,
money,
so there's
money,
there's different things.
Money.
It's usually about money.
Hey, you got the smart glasses on again. We noticed those on TV.
Huh? It's good to be noticed.
Yeah. Very studious.
Or is it, Jeff doesn't have his on today.
Smart glasses. Is there something electronic in that, or is it just the way they look? Make you look?
You've
seen smart boards and things like
sure,
that.
Sure. No. Google it's not affecting TV. The inside.
It's not helping as far as really the productivity.
No, it's not working.
It just looks good.
All right.
Thank you.
Here we go. News is after Joe.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gates. Snacks, foods, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gates today. More of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. All you got to do is refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners, and you'll get a cash referral fee. For more info, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com.
All right, Jaguars and Saints, you'll hear the game right here on the Jaguars Radio Network and WOKV. It begins at 8 o'clock with kickoff, which means we back up 3 hours, 5 o'clock, for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show on Friday night from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Jaguars pregame goes at 7 Eastern time and then kickoff at 8 o'clock. Good challenge. You go from Peyton Manning to Drew Brees.
Yeah, and we're going to have – I mean, one of the things I think if you're going to be critical of the defense of the New York Giants early was no pass rush. And Eli had quite a bit of time to sit back there. Really didn't move him off his spot except for the Aaron – a couple blitzes where we got there. Drew Brees, you're not going to get to him because he gets rid of the ball so quickly. But I think what's going to be critical that I'd like to see is we need to get some rush up the middle and some push because that's how you affect Drew Brees. You don't necessarily get him on the ground, but you pressure him in his face, move him off his spot, and affect the timing of the passing game. I think that's going to be critical coming in this week to see that front four, what kind of rush they can get.
Well, to me, the marquee matchup is going to be Jermon Bushrod, the Pro Bowl left tackle, versus Andre Branch. I mean, if you're going to watch a battle up front, that's the battle to watch because Andre Branch has continued. A lot of times rookies come in the first week, they look pretty good. Second week, they look pretty good. And then when you get to the third week, which, by the way, has been a – I can't think of another term – a ball-breaker week for this football team. I mean, demanding practices. And Andre Branch has gotten better. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's looked better in a very tough week, and that's a week usually rookies kind of fade a little bit. He's gotten better, and so to me, that matchup right there is one to watch.
But Jeff, don't you agree though? I mean, even if Andre has a nice night against Bushrod and makes some nice moves, he's gonna have a hard time affecting Drew Brees.
Well, he's so good with the ball.
He's so good with the ball. What I'm gonna be looking for is going to be the middle of that defensive line, the Terrence Knightons, the DeAnthony Smiths, the C.J. Mosleys, if Tyson plays.
Dan, we're not sure if Tyson's going to play.
We're not sure, but if those guys, whoever is in that unit, can they get pressure? Because they didn't get a lot of movement in the middle of that pocket to force Eli off his spot.
This is a really good offensive line, too. Maybe the best guard in football, right, Luggs? Guard,
Jerry Evans.
Jerry Evans.
Yep, good player.
And Ben Grubbs is a big guy. He replaces the other really Pro Bowl guard. They had 3 Pro Bowlers on the line last year. Bushrod, Carl Nix, who's now in Tampa Bay, and Evans, who's the right guard. Big and strong inside. It's going to be a heck of a battle.
Yeah. Another matchup that I'm looking forward to watching is Mincy versus Streif, who's the right tackle.
He should abuse him.
And that's what I'm saying. And Paul Spicer obviously was on the New Orleans Saints when they won the Super Bowl. Recently activated, I guess, late in the year that year, ended up getting a Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. And Paul Spicer doesn't think, I'll still put it nicely, he doesn't think that Zach Streif is as good as Jermon Bushrod. Well, I'll leave it at that.
Is it that hard to tell that?
I don't want it on Pro Football Talk. Lagerman said.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, if you look at that offensive line, the two tackles, Bushrod is the stud and Streif isn't as good. Most of the time, your right tackle is not as good as your left tackle. I mean, in a lot of offenses, Streif is a big individual, a powerful man. But if you're going to expose him, you can expose him in the pass rush.
Yeah, and I don't know how much Drew Brees is going to play. You know, they had the Hall of Fame game.
It's their third preseason game.
Against the Cards, and then they had the Patriots there, and they had practices with him. And you want to talk about a terrible game to watch. That was terrible. So he's only had 3 possessions in the preseason so far. You know, so you would expect that they're going to ramp it up a little bit this week. But, you know, when you got a guy that you know, he's your guy, do you really want to play him that much in the preseason? You know,
I bet you gets 3 series.
Maybe. Maybe. And if they,
I'm guessing.
And in the series that he had in the first two games, it was dink dunk, get the ball out of my hands quickly, so we can just say, "Hey, that. I'm here. I played. See you."
We're gonna see that no matter what.
Yeah.
But with that said, I don't care if he's in there or Chase Daniels. You're going to get this starting offensive line for probably a quarter and a half.
And they're going to get the ball out quick.
And I want to see that those interior defensive linemen get some push.
Let's get off X's and O's for just a minute and talk about the big story in New Orleans, and that is Sean Payton sent to suspension for a year. Joe Vitt, who is the interim coach, is going to miss the first six games. They don't know who the interim coach is going to be, if that's the right term for it. I mean, Mickey Loomis is gone for a year. I mean, this is a franchise that
no, Mickey's not gone for a year.
He's not gone for a year.
It's like 6 or 8 weeks.
Oh, is that all it is? Yeah. Okay, you're right. It's a shortened period of time. I forgot he was working with the basketball team, so I thought he was gone for longer than that. But you've got a franchise in complete turmoil, at least it would appear on the outside.
No, I'm very interested. I have New Orleans opening weekend for the radio, national radio. And so I think you're going to see an atmosphere, number one, the first home game since all this has happened.
We're going to see it this week.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This weekend in the preseason, that crowd is going to be fired up. You're going to see the free Sean Payton T-shirts. You're going to see an attitude from the fan base of us against the world. The NFL's out to get us. And there's going to be a lot of emotion in the Mercedes Superdome, whatever it's called.
That thing.
Hey, is it just me or Sean Payton just gotten buff?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's going through a little bit of
divorce.
He's got some time. He's getting yoked up.
I think he went and hired a personal trainer and said, you know, I can't coach. Let me just go lift weights every day.
He's back on the market.
That looks good.
Wasn't he hanging in Aruba or Trinidad and Tobago somewhere?
Yeah, there dancing some shots of night him. Away. Yeah. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. Enjoying life a little bit. But so when you talk about how many series does Drew Brees get, what their approach is, it's a little bit different unless they pull out Sean Payton's plan from a year ago and just run that. Because, you know, what does Joe Vitt want to do?
Well, they're going to run the same offense because Carmichael is the coordinator.
No, but I mean their approach, you know.
As far as preseason?
As players
yeah,
in
who
preseason.
Knows? Well, I agree with Jeff. No matter what, whoever the coach is there, you're going to protect Drew Brees.
Does anybody really believe that Sean Payton is not having some form of contact with the coaches right now?
I don't know. The
way do we really believe that?
The way he's working out, he might be busy.
And he's on the market. Maybe other things in his mind.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to say that they're trying to do stuff that's wrong, but I mean,
really?
Come on.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Whatever. I mean, the whole league coming down on the Saints, to me, is it really making the game better? Johnny, you got probably the best big picture perspective. In your opinion, is what Roger Goodell did, is it good for the game?
I would say probably not, but I also think the Saints, you know, kept doing and doing and doing what it was, you know, strongly suggested that they not do. And I think at some point the league got tired of them doing this.
Well, what's best for the league was what's best for the courtroom. Am I not? I mean, do you not see that in this deal with the lawsuits that are being filed out there? You got to throw – hey, we threw the book at him. Player safety is important to us.
If you're talking about the courtroom, they might lose the Jonathan Vilma battle. I mean, the judge – the judge came out and was
– I read that.
Basically more favorable toward Vilma and said, you guys need to go figure this out.
Yeah, but my point is that the league threw it at Sean Payton and the Saints because they needed a – what is the right term? They needed a what do you call it in the legal term? My twin brother's a lawyer, not me. But they needed a precedent, right? This was a case where player safety was at issue. This is what we did. See, we do believe in player safety.
And I think that's the theory, and I think probably that's what Roger was thinking about, making sure he made a strong statement, because all the noise that is happening around these concussion lawsuits and everything else. But I still think he came down too strong.
All right, well,
I think it was overreaching by the league with the penalties they doled out on the Saints.
John Vilma may win his case, but it's interesting that Sean Payton didn't stand in and fight it.
Well, it'll be interesting. If Vilma wins that case, is there a trickle-down effect to what happens with Payton and the rest of the staff?
Wouldn't you have been like to have been a fly on the wall at the meeting that Tom Benson had with Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
Really. You know, if HBO wants to get must-watch TV – like they got with Chad Johnson's issue, I mean, that would have been good. Carry a camera.
I'd watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd read it.
That's pay-per-view. That's pay-per-view material.
All right, we're due for a commercial break. Are you reading the card or should I?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Thanks.
You guys are so professional.
Yes, we is. This portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Football Fanatics. Brian, John, Tony, Jeff will be back right after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart, more fashion, less price.
Are you okay? I heard you on the phone.
No, I'm fine.
Do people, and we should say this right out of the gate.
That's John, and John's got a good gripe.
And he's a long-time listener.
Yeah,
John, we really appreciate you, but this is not a caller-driven program so much. First of all, because Buscelli never shuts up, right? I mean, he just
talks
the
whole time. That's a fair point.
It is a fair point, right. And Twitter is the best way to get your thoughts because you can tweet individual. Well, you can't tweet logs, but you can tweet at Tony Buscelli. You can tweet at John Osher. You can get me at Jags Voice. And what do we decide? How do people get to you?
Yeah, but they're supposed to call me. See, you're prohibiting my fans from talking to me. It's all about me.
We don't mean to do that. That's not a form of discrimination in any way, shape, or form.
My public needs to speak to me.
Okay, I'm Jeff Lagerman, and he knows who he is.
And he's comfortable with that. Just spend some time with him. Okay, so a couple Twitter questions at that. At Tony Buscelli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice.
Hey, don't forget Facebook.
Oh, do you have that up?
I got it up.
Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Okay, Logs and Tony, this one, and John, because you're on this one too. Curious what you thought of Branch against the Giants. Seemed to look better against second stringers, not much against starters. That's from Change/Can.
No, I think he did equally well. I think you probably noticed it more against the second teamers because you had a quarterback that wasn't looking to just, you know, get rid of the ball in a hurry and get out of the game. You know, I think that's what Eli Manning was really looking to do, protect himself and get out, you know. So I thought he looked equally well. You know, this week, you know, we're going to find out some more. But, I mean, so far, you know, I kind of had my opinions early on before training camp started about Andre Branch, thought it would be an adjustment period. And he is further along than I ever thought he would be.
Yeah, I probably disagree with Jeff a little bit as far as I thought he got better as the game went on. That's what I expected out of a guy making his first preseason start, playing that position. I think Jeff's right. I mean, there was not a lot of opportunities early. The ball got out. There wasn't much pressure from anybody except for the blitz. And so, you know, I'm very high on Branch. I thought he got better, but I don't think that's an unfair question that he looked better as the game went on, and as the game went on, some backups came in. And, well, the reality is the backup, the tackle was a backup from the start because Will Beatty, the
didn't play.
The original starter for the
Giants. He had a bad bed.
Yeah, did not play. So
bad bed meaning
you haven't heard about all that?
Oh yeah, they have a
bed gate up there for the New York Giants.
Beds are causing problems for players.
But the one thing I agree with Jeff is overall, I think, you know, that's very positive, and I think there's a lot of hope that Andre Branch is going to be, and I still think he'll be a 7 or 8 sack guy as a rookie, which is very good for a rookie defensive end.
Osh, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, if he gets 7 or 8 sacks, I think they'd be ecstatic. And
I think he does.
You know, he's a guy who, as you guys said, you expect defensive ends to really struggle out of the gate, and from all reports is that he is not.
You know, when I watch a young player, I always try to draw similarities to some guy that played in the past because of the way they move. And Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of a faster Sean Jones. Because he's so long and the way his arms are kind of moving, kind of like Sean Jones used to do. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be Sean Jones because if he does, that'd be great.
Yeah, Sean had like 122.
Yeah, something.
It was a lot.
It was a big number.
Well over 100.
But the way he moves reminds me of Sean Jones.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. Sean never had the up the field speed that Andre Branch does, but he's a long guy, and if he can figure out how to use that length like Sean Jones did and use that one-arm press inside and become efficient with his hands, He'll be a.
Is that the guy you first start? Green
first
Bay,
start
right?
ever was against Sean Jones.
Yeah, you had so many illegal hands to the face that they didn't call that night. I was loving it.
All right, hey, one of your fans wants
trust
to-
me, he was not happy.
He was not.
He was dog cussing me, and I just kept looking at him and said, "What do you want me to do?"
That was funny.
The bottom line is, he didn't get to the quarterback once.
No,
and I didn't care, and they didn't call a penalty once. I figured that's good enough.
113 sacks.
Yeah.
Let's get one of your fans here before we get off.
Good.
We got Chris from Lakeland. Chris, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey guys! This is definitely a deaf question because it's got to be more, over 140 characters. I've got a rule that says I only bug him once a year about Jaguars All Access because we're not allowed to see it if we live out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing: you brought it up several times during this broadcast, and I'm listening over the internet, and I can't see that program. You all say you can't put it online because you're limited to the amount of time you can put the program on the internet, but the truth is, on the Jaguars website, we have been promoted to go to NFL.com and sign up for this $20 program that allows us to watch every single preseason game anytime we want to, as many times as we want to. We can see as many minutes as we want to, and Jaguars.com is an NFL website. Why can't we get All Access?
We're working on it.
I think it's because somebody hasn't asked.
No, the rules are different. No, the rules are different.
For the NFL
website and the team website, the rules are different.
We're working out two things to see if we can do it. And number two, do it as far as, you know, the league says okay. And number two, to see if technically we can do it. And then number three, we're also looking at putting them on the website to be reviewed. So, Chris, hang tight. Hang tight.
It isn't as easy as it seems. I mean, there is a lot of
there's three ways. Two things as far as getting it, and then the third, a different way of possibly watching.
For people who don't follow, the NFL, especially in the digital media world, completely owns all the footage of anything that's shot in a stadium on game day. So for Jaguars All Access, and I don't know whether you know this or not, Tony, they can only show 6 minutes a video that includes any soundbite with a player that was shot in the locker room. That includes footage of the cheerleaders. Anything they show that was taken in the stadium on game day, they are severely restricted. And people go, well, why is that? It's an NFL website. It's an NFL team.
You know, the Jaguars just hired a guy by the name of Colin. And I'm forgetting the last
name.
Colin Kelly. And what's the title?
Director of Digital Media, right?
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Colin just got back. You know, the league every year they bring in all the teams and then they kind of go over, you know, the rules with websites and et cetera. So he just got here last week, right?
Yeah, he came in from New York.
Okay, so
I think he's working for NFL.com.
So folks, hang tight. But let me tell you this: you're getting a lot of quality content at Jaguars.com right now. Johnny O doing the daily camp report.
Outstanding.
Was that? Huh? What?
Yeah. Not to mention the Ozone and all the great articles you write. JP Shadrick doing a good job with you. And we got some cool stuff coming up. We're going to have a little film room Friday. Going to have a look at the preview of a game when me and you, Brian, are going to be doing something when we get to the hotel.
Yes.
And then we're going to have a little feature called Wheels Up, which is going to be after the game. Some of those are coming during the regular season, so stay tuned to Jaguars.com.
All right, folks, that'll bring us to the end of hour number one. And, Joe, do we have a card to read?
Why, funny you should ask. Yes, we do. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. Well, the 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News is next, then more of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, Jaguars This Week. John Osher, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Brian Sexton with you here at Jags Voice, at John Osher, at Tony Boselli for Twitter. We'll grab some of Loggies fans at 800-355-6351 when they call.
If they call.
I'm sorry.
It's not a matter of if. There is
no
if.
A couple of Twitter thoughts here, and then we'll get wherever you want to go. Jason wants to know, why don't I feel as confident with Jennings slash Owens as you guys do? How confident are you in Jennings Owens as a 1-2, and why should someone feel confident about them?
Well, to me, I'm confident and excited about Rashad the way he's looked. But it's always better to have a guy that's the number two look like that, and the guy that's number one is the guy that just led the league in rushing.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm confident is because the guy who's led the league in rushing isn't here, and I don't know when he's coming back. So I've taken the attitude, almost like the coaching staff mm-hmm. in the organization, what you have to is you only can evaluate the guys you have on your roster. And so this deep into camp, I think you have to start evaluating the running back position without Maurice here.
And I don't know how Rashad could have looked better so far.
No, he's been.
That's why I'm confident. I've said it since day one. As long as he's healthy and can play the number of plays they want him to, I think they're fine with him. But the question is, can he do that? Can he be as consistent as Maurice was?
That's the problem.
Right. And it's what you don't know.
You don't know. And in the game Friday night, I think Keith Toston moved up the depth chart, although it hasn't changed
right.
the depth chart. I think in the minds of coaches, I think he will see more action this week.
He certainly moved ahead of Parmalee. But
that hasn't changed on the depth chart.
Okay. But in terms of what you're seeing, I think that's happened. And, you know, Montel Owens played well enough to keep that spot on the depth chart.
Well, he played well enough to actually last week he was at fullback.
Right.
As number two fullback. And then this week he is now listed as the number two tailback. Is that no? Yes, two tailback.
And yep. He's always played well when he's got a chance to play.
And he got one of the Sports Center's top plays of the game, or top plays of the week.
I would think he would.
The play ran over touchdown. The defense. And it was featured on Come On Man Monday night.
I mean, we got national publicity.
He got
that should make our fans very happy.
Montel Owens got the exposure, and then
obviously we actually got two Come On Mans. One was because of the official.
The official,
up,
yeah,
the
with the flag.
One was the Montel Owens run.
But that's good.
Oh, good.
And I thought Montel played well. I think Montel is better as a single back. I think he looks very comfortable when he is the single back there. And because I think Montel has very good vision. I mean, I don't know if Montel is a breakaway guy that's going to
– No, he's not.
Wow you with his speed. But when he is that
steady.
When he's that single back and they run that zone play, he does a great job of picking his hole and getting upfield.
You don't see him make a lot of mistakes either.
He does not make mistakes. He's smart. He understands.
Catch the ball.
What they expect of him, Toasting, we talked about. But to answer the tweet, the reason I'm comfortable with it is Maurice isn't here. And so if you evaluate where you are and what you've seen in camp, and that's what you have to evaluate. That's the only thing you can. Rashad Jennings has played outstanding. Montel is a guy who is going to give you consistency back there, is not going to make mistakes. And then you have a bunch of young guys who are fighting for that third position.
Maybe the best way to put it is if you lived in a vacuum and didn't know Maurice Jones-Drew existed, you'd feel pretty good about Rashad Jennings running back.
Absolutely.
So that's
where you are.
Right.
But you'd still have questions.
Sure.
Can he do it for 16 games?
Right. But
and I'm not comparing him to Maurice Jones-Drew, but weren't there questions when Maurice got the big contract? Mm-hmm. And the question was, can he be the featured back every down?
You bet.
And then I had the same questions about him.
After each season, it was, can he do it again? You know, when will he start to wear down because his running style is so akin to Earl Campbell?
Right.
How long can he keep going? So those questions have never disappeared. It's a good point, Osh. Here's one for you, John, in particular. It's from Rob.
I think I made that point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I agree. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, even Ozone's like, man, I'll take credit.
All right. Yeah. I'll always take credit.
I'm surprised you didn't put the glasses back on. That was such a good point.
Smart glasses. So and that's probably what grabbed me. That it was such a smart statement. The smart glasses.
You didn't expect it to come from me.
Well, no, the glasses just lured me.
I don't
in
have
that
glasses
direction.
On, so I apologize.
You might try them.
I'm going to try them.
This is from Rob. He wants to know what news on Eugene Monroe, who left the practice field today with a not a head injury, but he got hit in the head.
Well, I think he's going to be okay, and it's a case where anytime a guy gets hit in the head, now it's going to be a day or two of evaluating and putting them in what Mike Mularkey calls the concussion program, but I don't think anybody's heard anything differently than I have, which is that they think he'll be fine.
Yeah, they're being cautious how they should be with head injuries, but I would, not that I've heard this, but I expect him at this point to play Friday night. I hope he does. It would be a great matchup between him and Will Smith.
Eben was out there today after the tweets that were going, oh, Eben hurt his back day before.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, if you watched him walk off, your first thought was, boy, this is not good, because he looked, you know, he looked like an old man walking up the field. But as Mike Mularkey said, he's a guy who puts everything into every play, and in that heat, he cramped up. And I loved Eben's quote when I asked him if he was all right. He goes, dude, I just redline it.
That's great.
He was awesome. You know,
I like him at guard. I think that's going to be a great position for him. I think we'll see the best football from Eben as the year goes on. You got to remember, he's coming off a back injury. Those times, it takes time to get your full strength back, and I think Eben's best football is in front of him. With all that said, the best thing that Eben brings to this team is a bit of nastiness and that red line attitude of, even if I'm going to mess up, I'm going to mess up going full speed somewhere and try to hit somebody. And that is an element that you cannot overlook on a football team, because it brings an attitude, a toughness, a little bit of a nastiness that I think is important. I think it's important for an offensive line.
And this all happened last week after our show, but Cameron Bradfield at right tackle, we've all talked about it a little bit. Talk about him and the potential he has in that position, both you guys.
Well, before we do, let me just add this, and I said it to you guys before. I think Eben at left guard also makes Eugene Monroe better. Mm-hmm. You know, much in the way that Keenan made Jimmy better and Jimmy made Keenan better, the little competition. And I'm not saying these two guys are competing against each other, but Eben's nastiness, fire type of play will help Eugene, because sometimes you want Eugene to play with a little bit more, you know. So I think that's good. Bradfield, Tony?
You know, we talked about it last week. I liked him. I liked the move of him at right tackle. I think he has huge upside. He's very athletic. He's one of the strongest guys on the team. He moves very naturally, athletically. Overall impression of the game, take away the first play where he got over the top, got pushed back, and gave up a hit to Justin Tuck. Didn't start well. I thought he recovered well. I thought he played a solid right tackle. And I expect him only to get better. I think he has the potential to be really good at right tackle. I think it's dangerous to worry about potential, because that's down the road. I think right now, where he sits on this team, he is a good. He can be a good right tackle that is solid, that's physical, that moves his feet well. I like the move. I think it was a smart move by Mike Mularkey, putting him at right tackle and moving Eben to left guard. I think that puts your five best guys on the field right now. And I know he got criticized quite a bit because everyone remembers the first play. My advice to Cameron and anyone else who ever wants to play offensive tackle is, you're going to be one-on-one a lot, and sometimes the only thing the fans are going to remember is the one time you get beat and not the other 40, 50, 60 times that you whip the guy's rear end. So that's a little bit of the nature of the position, of how the average person watching, because that's what sticks out.
Well, it's kind of like quarterback, right? I mean,
I think the best two positions you can compare that situation to is a corner and a tackle.
Right.
A corner can play outstanding, get beat on one play, give up a touchdown, and all everyone remembers is, man, that guy had a bad game.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're Blaine Gabbert.
Well, that's different. That was one play. Same as tackle. Right. You block a good pass rusher the entire night, and you get beat. That's all people are going to remember. And as an offensive lineman, offensive tackle, you have to have some thick skin and just go about and do your business. And I think Cameron did that the rest of the evening.
All right, I don't want you guys to get the wrong idea for me bringing this up, because I mentioned Sean Payton was kind of buff. Okay, but Cameron Bradfield may have one of the best offensive lineman bodies in the National Football League.
All right, I thought you were talking about flowers or something. No, we're good.
You look at him. I mean, he has narrow waist, a V. How many offensive linemen literally have a V? You never had one, Vaselli. You were the definition of pear body. Cameron Bradfield is, well, he ran a 4.82 coming out of college. We were talking to Gene Smith about that earlier today. Yeah. A 4.82. I ran a 4.78.
I was
smoking fast.
You were a slow defensive end.
But, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just a
well, you brought it up last year.
Sliver
when you first
of the pie, you know, of how athletic he is. But, I mean, he's got big arms. Mr. Thomas Slinsky, the strength coach, said you should see this guy in the weight room.
And I don't care how fast he ran, Jeff. I know that's impressive. I mean, the stats. What impresses me about him is how he moves laterally.
Great balance.
I mean, I've seen a lot of guys who can run fast straight ahead, but they can't move their feet. They can't move laterally. They can't change directions. He does that. He does that naturally. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I don't want the callers to think we're anointing him as, you know, the, you know, a Pro Bowl right tackle at this point. We're not saying that, but he has a ways to go to improve, and a lot of that is experience. You have to remember he came out of a very small school, didn't see this type of competition.
Grand Valley State.
You know, yep. he was thrown in the fire a little bit last year. He had some injuries coming into training camp. He started off slow as far as reps-wise. This is a guy that, if he keeps his head about him, is only going to get better.
And it'll help.
It's only upside for Cameron Bradfield.
It'll help him, too, playing one position.
Yeah, that would help. He played three on Friday night. And I'll just tell you, someone who had to play – only played one and had to play right tackle a couple times in the Pro Bowl, I don't know how he did it. I mean, that is not easy. It is not easy going from right tackle in pass setting, kicking with your right, and then halfway through the game say, okay, you're going to go to left tackle now, and now you're going to have to go switch your feet, switch your technique, switch your mind as far as assignments and everything else, and go perform on that side. He did a good job.
Well, I had one scout tell me that if – the kid who played at Michigan instead of Grand Valley State.
Oh, he'd have been a top.
He'd have been a third-round pick.
Yeah, he would have been the top half of the draft.
Yeah, yeah, third-round pick. So yeah, that's the kind of talent the kid has. All right, we need a break. We'll take it and return. More to come. Jaguars this week after Joe reads this magnificent card, and he'll do it quite well.
Thank you, Brian. Jaguar season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now. So no matter what shape your body is in, you can go all in and call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna returns right here on Jaguars Radio.
12. And then we spoke with Nancy Soderberg, the Democratic candidate who's going to be running against the winner in November.
News Talk WOKV. Depend on it.
I'm here with Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. Out of curiosity, how many official Rolex jewelers are there in the Jacksonville area?
Cole, when you talk about official Rolex jewelers that are part of the network, they're counted by doors. Underwoods has 4 official Rolex jeweler doors, and Mayer's has 1. Anybody else selling Rolex watches is not an official Rolex jeweler, and there are no assurances of authenticity when you buy outside the official Rolex jeweler network.
And Underwoods also has a Rolex service facility right here in Jacksonville, in San Marco, Avondale, the Shops of Pontevedra, and the Avenues Mall.
Hey parents, imagine putting your child in the Jaguars starting lineup during the next home game. Well, Daly's and Shell can make it happen with a Daly's Kickoff Kit Contest. Open to kids 6 to 12, the Daly's Kickoff Kid will win a chance to retrieve the tee after kickoff. Plus, win 4 pregame field passes, club seats, a Shell gift card, and other great prizes. Just stop by any Daly's Shell convenience store to register for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And there's a new Daly's Kickoff Kit drawing for every home game, so remember to enter each week. Daly's, making Jaguars games even nicer. No purchase necessary. See store for details.
There's a move on to a wireless company called Metro PCS. A move to no annual contracts, to affordable Android, to 4G LTE for less, to nationwide coverage, to unlimited talk, text, and web with taxes and regulatory fees included in every low flat rate plan, to the hottest phones. It's why everybody's moving to Metro. Metro PCS. Wireless for all. Coverage and services not available everywhere. 4G LTE coverage and services available in select metropolitan areas. See a store or metropcs.com for more details.
Hi, this is Cecil Shorts with the Jaguars, and I'm here to tell you how important it is to eat to compete. Yeah, you heard me right. I said eat to compete. Do you know that you need fruits and vegetables at lunch? If I ate junk food for lunch, do you think I would be able to compete in the field? Not a chance. You can't compete either if you're eating junk food. Join me in eating a healthy lunch with more fruits and vegetables. A healthy lunch will give you the energy you need, whether you're on the field like me, in the classroom, or at home. Come on, give it a try. Make the right choice and eat a healthy lunch like me. To see how you can eat to compete, visit freshforfloridakids.com. What's on your plate?
Jacksonville's most accurate and dependable forecast. News Talk WOKV. Depend on it.
The WOKV weather meter is an 8. A couple thunderstorms around into this evening, then partly cloudy tonight. Low is 72 degrees. Mixed clouds and sunshine tomorrow and Friday. Chance for a thunderstorm each afternoon into the early evening. High both days 94. Low tomorrow night down to 72. And again, very little change in the overall pattern through the weekend. I'm Mackie with meteorologist Brett Anderson. News Talk WOKV.
Well, Aetna's mobile app will let you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more. Get better. Brian.
At Tony Buscelli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. 355NFL1.
Facebook.
Is Loggy's Twitter.
What do you have against Facebook?
I don't have it up here, and I like to be in control.
You're a control freak.
Joe's got it up, though.
Yeah, I'll get it up here. We'll get to it eventually. It isn't as easy to read. Twitter, just, bam, 140 characters. Facebook, you can write a paragraph.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
But you get to say Jaguars when you say...
Let's talk about Justin Blackmon.
All right, let's go there.
I'm excited. I like what Mike Mularkey said. If he's in shape, he's going to play, I think, a half or up to a half. If you watch him on the field and in practice and what he's done in late in OTAs up through camp, it's pretty exciting. I think he's a guy who catches everything, and I'm looking forward to what he does when he goes and matches up against some of these, Jabari Greer and Patrick Robinson, some of the top line.
Yeah, Greer's a little dinged up, so I don't know if he's going to go or not.
Right, but just to see him against those top line their starters.
I just want to see him. I don't care who he's going against. I mean,
yeah,
he's been fun to watch
in practice. I want to see him work with Blaine, is my point. I'm looking forward to him on one side, LaRon Robinson on the other side, three wides putting either Mike Thomas or Cecil. Right now I think it's Mike Thomas in the slot. And watch that group go. I think you draft a guy fifth, and who's the best wide receiver in all of college football, two-time Biletnikoff winner, and the excitement and the hope as a fan and as a part of this organization is that he's just going to pick up where he left off last year in college and continue to build on what he's done in practice so far and be that dominant player in the games. And I like his attitude. He has that, if you're around him, a little bit of that it factor, a little bit of that attitude, like, hey, I'm going to be the guy.
Well, we've all seen first-round picks who come in, and when they get there, you sort of raise your eyebrows and go, I'm not sure. This is not really what we're thinking of. This week, once the pads came on and once Justin got out there, you can tell why he's a top 10 pick.
He's
you can
different.
Tell why he's a top 5 wide receiver. And Jeff and I talked a little bit about it. The way he catches the ball, even the way the ball hits his hands, sounds different. He's got special hands.
You know what makes him separate when he gets pads on? He's got his true strength is the ability to control his body.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a cat. You know, when you were like a little kid, you'd catch the neighbor's cat, and you get up on the roof and throw it off. And
I never did that.
I'm just kidding.
PETA, that's Jeff Logger.
I'm just kidding,
folks. He doesn't have a Twitter account, but you
like,
can call him.
But like a cat. I mean, if you take a cat and a cat, you know, no matter where it falls
and throw him
from,
off the roof.
And throw him off the roof.
Go ahead.
In Virginia.
Go with this.
No, just go, Jeff. You're too deep.
But seriously, a cat falls out of a tree. I mean, does it
pushed
not,
out of
does
a tree.
It not ever fall on its feet?
I don't know. I've never done it.
I mean, Justin has that type of body control.
Great body control.
He uses his body when the ball's in the air, almost like a basketball player getting body position.
And he did that a couple of times in that red zone drill that, you know, while we were all watching on Wednesday Tuesday morning, I guess, where he just made a couple of natural plays that were, you know, reaction plays and plays that you might see in a game where it was very close to live, and he would shield the defender with his body and just sort of stick his hands out, make an easy catch, and your eyebrows raise, and you went, yeah. And as Rasheen Mathis said last week when we first asked him about it, you can tell he's not accustomed to the ball hitting the ground. With what you're, you know.
And don't you get the other sense about Justin? He's comfortable being the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's comfortable being the top pick. He's comfortable, and he expects, and not all the time. John, as you kind of alluded
to, he understands.
When the first rounder comes in, does he have that part of it in his makeup of being the guy?
If you want to see what Loggy was talking about, go to YouTube and find the Texas A&M game last year, Oklahoma State versus Texas A&M. He made play after play on a crossing route where he would reverse field by just stopping and moving his hips.
Great
and
body control.
Picking up and going. Incredible body control. He did it in the Fiesta Bowl against Stanford as well. He just looked like the best athlete on the field in both cases.
And what you always heard about him, you know, in the pre-draft was what he wasn't. Not fast enough, not that big guy that you want your one receiver to be. But watching him, you think, okay, this body control thing might be what makes him that guy.
And I think I got a theory as to why he has such great body control.
Because you threw him out of a tree?
No.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the size of his feet? He wears like a size 15 or 16. For real. I mean, size 15 or 16 shoe. I mean, you want to talk about grip. I mean, he's like...
I don't know how scientific.
He's like
is.
A cat.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it has something to
do
with
it. I think you're
it.
Stretching there, bud.
You never know.
I've seen a lot of guys with big feet that can't do anything.
Well, he's, you know, it's like race cars, you know. They get the wider the tire, they get more grip. I mean, he's
I'm going to you go with
You
that
never
one.
Know.
I think I have just, size 13s, and I might have been the worst athlete you've ever seen.
He certainly is nimble. He's going to start
but
on Friday
grip.
Night.
you were stuck in one position.
I was stuck.
It'll be fun to watch his first game because there are expectations. And when you're the first pick, you feel that pressure.
You can't help it.
It's just human nature. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he handles that. And it'll be fun. And it'll be tough to tell from TV and where we sit doing it. But the nerves and getting out there for that first time. And it's going to be a good event. It's going to be a good night seeing what
he does. It's going to be fun to watch how this offense handles what may be probably the most hostile environment in any preseason game this year.
You're going to have to go silent count.
You know, and they've worked on it all week. They've had the speakers cranking up. But I think New Orleans is going to want to show something to everybody, you know, on Friday night.
It'll have as close to a regular season field game as you can in the preseason.
As any preseason game I could even think of.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and that means it's time for Joe to read a card and send it over to the news folks at WOKV. Joseph.
I can do it. Visit Sonny's today and try their new barbecue baskets. The slow smoked pulled and sliced meats basket for $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue news, is next. Then more of Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Campaigns will be paying.
About 26 minutes left in the program this evening. If you'd like to jump on board, 355-NFL-1 to talk to Loggy at Tony Buscelli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice, the rest of the way through Twitter. Let's go to Savannah, where Kevin is standing by to talk about the offensive line. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. Forgive me. I said I was a Loggeman fan so I could get on the air. I hope you'll forgive me for that. But
So you're saying you're not?
No,
so you're the
I
one.
Love you, Jeff. I love you, Jeff.
Okay.
But this is more for Tony. I was impressed the first game how the offense was able to use the snap count to hold the defensive line. And it seems in the past couple of years they were teeing off on our linemen, and we were able to get that snap count advantage on a number. I mean, we went off on the quick snap. We had them. We drew them off sides a couple of times, and I think that's going to bode well for the offense in the future.
Well, listen, if you have an effective quarterback at using the hard count and mixing up the cadence of which you're going to go with, it's an advantage to the offensive line and the entire offense because it slows down the pass rush. And I think Blaine did a good job of that, got a couple guys to jump. And that's always it's always a little bit of a added,
It's a tool.
Added advantage to the offense.
It's a tool, and
if you
can
use
it
effectively.
Absolutely. And let me ask you a question here. Tony, how important is it for an offensive lineman to have a fast get off with the snap of the ball?
For me?
For any offensive lineman.
To get off the ball?
Yeah.
Important, very important.
Now, here's another question for all of you. Who's the fastest offensive lineman in camp this year off the ball?
Drew Nowak.
Yep.
Well, he's a defensive lineman.
I was just being facetious. Really?
Yep.
Well, he's a defensive lineman.
I'm just saying he's the fastest guy off the snap of the ball.
How'd he do?
Listen, they're trying to make him feel welcome on the offensive side.
He is for real. I'm not joking.
Listen,
here.
I'm not saying you're joking, but the only reason Loggy even brought that up is because he's an ex-defensive lineman.
Well, I just know that there's many defensive linemen have made the conversion to offensive line. There's very few offensive linemen that have ever made the conversion to defensive line. Does that not say something right there?
No, I could have played defensive line.
Does that not tell you something?
What position?
I could do what he did. I was just about as fast as he was.
Appreciate the phone call, Kevin. Hey, how about Nowak? Have we talked enough about him tonight? We've talked off air. Have we talked on air about him?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Doing a good job. I mean, he had...
The fact that we're talking about him on a Wednesday night show.
He's still a work in progress, but is working very quickly in the right direction.
Yeah, I think
he's
that's
doing a good
story.
Job.
He had the first week of practice as defensive line. And look, when you got C.J. Mosley, Terrence Knighton, Tyson Alualu.
He wasn't making the club on as a defensive line.
Right. Mike Markey said
Smith,
he was not going to make the team.
Jairus Pendleton, he had absolutely no chance. And, hey, we got to give credit to whoever made the decision to say, hey, let's try him at offensive
line.
It
was Mike Malarkey.
That was a great decision. You know, because all of a sudden now you got a guy, because you were kind of weak at guard, you know, just from a numbers standpoint, and that's kind of why they said, let's try it. But he went to guard on Sunday after the scrimmage, so he had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so four practices essentially, and then had a walkthrough the day before the preseason game against the Giants, and then played 50-plus snaps, had four mental errors. And, Tony, for the pregame show, folks.
I've known guys who've played offensive line their whole life and have more than four mental errors.
And tune in to the Jaguars pregame show. I show a little clip of Drew Nowak working with Cameron Bradfield at left tackle, and they ran a little the defensive line ran a game, and we call it a TE.
I saw that in the
– Passed it off
perfect
beautifully.
Pickup. Perfect pickup.
And I'm watching that. I'm going, are you kidding me?
I actually noticed that during the telecast that it was – very well.
Yeah, done. So check it out on Jaguars pregame show.
And Malarkey on Sunday or Monday when he was talking about it said he was shocked at how well Nowak played. So, I mean, I think even Mike, he made the move, but he did not nobody expected this.
You know what's fun to watch is in practice, you know, offensive and defensive linemen, you know, it's always the jawing back and forth, you know, and, of course, all the defensive linemen, they're going against their former, you know, D-line mate. And so when Drew Nowak gets up there, you know, the first thought is they all want to try to run him over, you know, because he was in their room. And he's handling his own.
Mm-hmm.
But not only does he get encouragement from the offensive line, he also gets encouraged from the defensive line.
That won't last much longer.
And also
trust me.
The offensive line coach. I mean, the defensive line coach, Joe Cullen. Because they know that what a big change it's been for him, and they're being very supportive of him. And he's doing a good job. Now I'm not saying
if he makes the 53 man roster, that will all change, and you guys will be, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he's a lock to make the 53 man roster. We're not saying
but he's got a shot.
But he's got a shot.
That's saying a lot.
And, yeah,
a lot
to say an undrafted free agent rookie
wasn't going to make it
from Joel Schmange's alma mater, Western Michigan, and he's coming in here making a switch. That's impressive.
And you wonder. Again, you don't want to guarantee it because we have no say, but you got to almost believe he's guaranteed to be a practice squad guy. And I think one of the things you have to worry about, as well as he's played.
Getting too much film,
and someone sees it and says, wait a second.
And that's why he's got a shot to make the 53.
Yeah, wait a
second. He's this young, this, you know,
this guy did
potential.
Pretty good.
You can't put him on there because somebody will pick him up.
Maybe.
Smart guy, majored in engineering. And he's from a football mecca. You know where his hometown is?
Ohio somewhere?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Football's in his blood.
Well, he looks the part, you know, and he's doing well, and it's fun to watch, you know, because I don't think we've ever had a guy that's made the switch like that and has had the level of success.
Now, times out of ten, that switch is, hey, we're going to put you over and give you a shot.
It's a camp body.
And then at the end of camp, thanks for making the switch. We'll talk to you later.
Zach Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, got defensive end at Nebraska. You know, they bring him in here. We're going to play tight end, and you know, what was he on practice squad for?
He was on the Jets practice squad, and they were the ones I think that actually converted him.
Okay,
and then he came down here. So
you know, it's happened before.
Can he play center? And the reason I bring that up is we've been talking about the center position and where you're going with that. Because if John Estes isn't coming back soon, and it sure doesn't appear he is, then you have Brad Meester. And on the depth chart, Mike Brewster.
He probably could eventually, but he can't do it now.
No, I don't think so. I think it's too much.
The good thing, though.
Who's your other center?
The good thing is,
right
though,
now,
is
it's,
that.
It's Uche Nwonare and Mike Brewster.
Yeah, and I think if let's say you put a 53-man roster together today with the injuries you have, going into the game, if you had an injury to Meester, Uche would probably be that guy. Just because Brewster, you know, still got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And this week, when Estes wasn't out there, when they were in no pads, which was going all the way back to Sunday's practice, when they're in no pads, they were shorts. Well, Uche had game pants on, and they wear the pants for the center quarterback exchange. So Uche had pants on, Nowak had pants on, Brewster had pants on, and Meester had pants on, so he had four guys that could snap in that practice. So, you know,
that's an issue. That's an issue right now.
And it's a shame if Estes is lost for a period of time, because, I mean, we've seen his potential. You know, he had a great block on the goal line where he drove a guy out, and I don't remember who was carrying the ball at the time, but I just remember, man, that was a nice block. I mean, he just moved the whole pile of bodies. You know, and we've been saying that he has a chance to be the heir apparent to Brad Meester. Got nice balance and everything. And
but if he's out, which it sounds like it may be season for him. If that's the case, that's two seasons out of three where he's been on IR, mm-hmm. and that's always, you know.
And he's never been hurt prior to coming here.
You miss a lot of practice when you do that. Is one issue.
You know, he's a concern. You know, Zach Miller is a concern. I mean, this, you know, you talk about 2 out of 3 years with John Estes. Zach Miller's had some injuries, you know, in 4 years. But the facts is still always there. When he's been out there, mm-hmm. he's looked very good.
Right. No question.
Take a break. Come back. More from Twitter. More of your calls. This is Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. And this is Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna returns on Jaguars Radio.
All right, here we go. Final 11 minutes of the radio program this evening. Questions via Twitter, at Jags Voice, at John Osher, at Tony Buscelli. We can go to the phones, 355-NFL-1. Don't go to Facebook often enough, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And the question is simple. Is there a chance in your estimation the Jaguars might be interested in Will Demps as a change?
Jeff Demps.
I'm sorry. Jeff Demps. I'm thinking of the safety, Will Demps. Jeff Demps as a change of pace, return guy, and in Maurice's absence, another body.
Could be.
Not Maurice's absence.
No,
though,
as I mean, Maurice.
As a kick returner.
But here's the thing. I don't think he was a returner at Florida. I think he ended up.
No, he was a returner.
Not very many. He only had like 2 punt returns and 20 kick returns, I think I read, in his career at Florida.
He's more of a kick return kick guy return than he's anything in the league. But,
maybe I'm wrong. I thought I read somewhere he was. I mean, he's not a punt returner.
No.
No, he's a third down back.
Yeah.
You know, change
scat
of pace.
Back.
Back, but also you could split him out and maybe
he's fast.
I
just saw a tweet from Pro Football Talk. Jets interested in Jeff Demps, and one of the retweets was, well, "Of course they are.
They're interested in everybody."
Right. Right, so that was funny.
What kind of money would he get?
Minimum.
You know, undrafted.
Right, it's no risk.
No, I mean he's a free agent.
Right.
You know, he's not going to get minimum. He's a free agent.
Right. But no, he's not going to get much more than that.
He's like an undrafted rookie free agent.
Right. I don't know, John.
If the Jets get involved, he'll get plenty.
I don't know if they have any money to give him.
You get a couple teams interested, but I don't know what the rules are.
What's next, Usain Bolt?
Well, I'm just wondering what the rules are.
He'd get a lot
of money.
Because
with the rookie
Ronaldo Nehemiah, right. I think
cap system that they have, you know, are you also restricted on what you can pay an undrafted rookie, you know, undrafted rookie free agent? That's a question we have to find out. We'll find out because, I mean.
We can ask Walshy.
He's going to have to. I would have to think that over by the weekend, somebody's going to sign him to want to get him into a camp to see what he can do. You know, is he back from London yet?
No idea.
I don't know.
I'll just answer this way. It has nothing to do with Maurice Jones.
If Al Davis were alive, he'd be in Oakland.
For a while.
Yes. And he would be a lock to make the team.
Right, yeah.
Just so that Al could feel the breeze going by. Al Davis loved guys with speed. How many guys did he sign that were Olympic-type runners? Didn't he have Willie Gault there for a while?
Yep.
After he was in Chicago?
Did he late in his career?
Yeah.
Got that, yeah. Well, he had a lot. He had Calvin Muhammad, who was a guy from Jacksonville way, way, way back.
And then the first-round pick from Maryland a couple years ago.
Hayward Bay.
Darius Hayward Bay.
Who could run...
Like run lights out, you know, combine number was, you know, epic, you know, in the 40-yard dash time. If somebody's got speed, Al Davis would have found him. Surprising that he didn't sign Usain Bolt last year.
Or Alvis Whitted, which he did.
He did get Alvis.
He eventually did. You're right.
I don't know.
To answer the question.
It's fun to watch.
I mean, we have no idea if they're looking at him. I don't think it could hurt to bring him in as a
kick returner slash speed guy outside, but it has no bearing on Maurice, though. I don't quite understand the correlation of the question between Maurice and Jeff Thames.
I had a question that I wanted to ask you, Johnny. Did you watch Peyton Manning and then the Denver Broncos and then Peyton's first action?
I watched I saw the highlights was all I watched.
Yeah, I watched all the plays that Peyton was in the ball game. Mm-hmm. He ain't same. And everybody else is saying that, oh, did he look great?
Oh, he's not the same? I didn't watch it.
I didn't think so. The ball wobbled.
Yeah, his arm was not what it was, but what was significant was, he still got it there. He can still see the field enough to be effective, I think. And it'll be a matter of how much his arm strength comes back. And I'm not sure we know the answer to that question.
Yeah, but I'm amazed at the perception. But, you know, just like we have complaints about people that say, oh, Blaine Gabbert, look at what he did last week, that play, he chucked and ducked. And then you see the Peyton Manning, and when I watched it, I was like, you know, it's not the same guy. You know, I agreed with you. He found the open guy. He got it there. But the ball didn't get there in the same fashion. But yet nobody said that. All people wanted to do was rave about it.
Sure.
Because that's what that's what they want.
Are they scared of Peyton Manning?
I don't think they're scared of him. That's what they want. People want
Peyton. But
he's earned the right to some level for what he's done in the past to have the benefit of the doubt. And people give Peyton Manning the benefit of the doubt.
But he didn't play all last year. How do you give him the benefit of the doubt?
Because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever lace
them up. No question. No doubt.
When you're one of the greatest, you get the benefit of the doubt. Joe Montana, at the end of his career with the Kansas City Chiefs, was not the same guy. But they still gave him the benefit of the doubt. And guess what? He figured out how to get that team in the playoffs with an arm that was nowhere near, and he never had the strongest arm. But when you're that good at that position, they're going to hang with you and hope you can do it.
I was just surprised on the slant.
He always could see. I mean, you know, he obviously could see it and had the feel for the game. And I frankly wasn't interested enough to watch, you know, the game live. But what I saw on tape, he certainly didn't look like he had the arm strength, but looked like he had the same field vision, which, you know, you would have expected.
Well, another thing is, you talk about his arm strength. I mean, I don't know how much it has to do with the neck or not.
What is 36. He,
36, right. 37 years old. I mean, you get older, you lose arm strength.
I haven't lost a bit of strength.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
Or speed.
And all the coverage that the kid in Indianapolis got. He had a good day.
Yeah, but here's my problem with that. So I didn't see the play, his first play. I got the tweet.
It was 3 yards.
And I saw the thing.
Shovel pass.
First play, 63-yard touchdown. I'm thinking, dang. So I'm thinking when I can see the highlight or watch it next day, it's going to be like a go pattern or a deep post.
He almost handed it to him.
I literally turned on the –
it
could have
been a shovel pass.
And I watch it in the first series, and I'm like, is that what we're getting excited about? Let's get excited about Donald Brown making a great run and running away from some people.
Or you could say, where was the defense? When Donald Brown runs for 61 yards, Donald Brown is not one of the better backs in the league now.
He's very fast, but beyond that, he's not one of the better backs in the league.
No.
With that said, the kid, I mean, Luck had a good start.
Sure.
He did.
10 for 16. He threw the ball fine. But I thought it was funny how, if you just read about it, you'd have thought, my goodness, he must have thrown a strike.
Well, there's the perception that Loggy was talking about earlier. Now, this kid gets off to a good start, and he's the first overall pick and very much hyped over the last 2 years. So now people are going to tend to write the positive side of Andrew Luck.
Well, everyone said coming out of Stanford, he's the best quarterback
in a generation.
In a generation.
And then I hear, well, did you go back and look at Peyton Manning's first preseason pass ever? It was a touchdown, too.
It was a slant. It was a slant to Marvin Harrison.
Right, and it's a funny story. Peyton occasionally talked about that, and he said, I had no idea what I was seeing, but I knew Marvin was over there, so I threw him the ball. So
this is going to be
at least he's honest.
Sure.
It's going to be an interesting division this year.
It is.
Because Jake Locker is getting the start this week for Tennessee.
And I think he ends up being the starter.
And I think so, too. And then, obviously, with Luck in Indianapolis, Blaine Gabbert, year two here in Jacksonville.
Three young quarterbacks and then Matt Schaub.
And the Virginia boy, Matt Schaub.
And we really don't even know where Matt Schaub is, do we?
All the reports out of camp, he looks good, he looks healthy, everything's going fine. But, I mean, he should be fine. I mean, he had plenty of time to heal that foot.
Yeah. but you know, foot's foot. Foot's pretty serious injury.
No, it is, but I'm just saying, but all the reports right now is there's no issues.
Want to grab a quick call? Lee's from Ponte Vedra. If you're calling, you obviously want to talk to Loggeman. Lee, what's happening?
Yeah, and I haven't lost any arm strength either. Hey, great show last week, best ever. I haven't heard anything, any talk about Mercedes Lewis. I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
John, you want to go with that?
Well, you know, the storyline around Mercedes, this training camp is, you know, Mike Mularkey has said several times that he didn't come in quite in the shape that he wanted, that he's working his way into that shape. Mike doesn't doubt that he'll be in that shape at some point soon, and he's close. Today he had a very good practice. He caught two touchdowns in the red zone, and I made the point that the second one the defense knew was coming and still couldn't stop it. And at the end of the comment, he said, Mercedes is a guy because of his size and what he could do in the red zone. He's going to play a key role, and I think that's the overall plan for him. They think he's going to be a big part of what's going on.
He's got to get better.
Yeah.
He's got to get better. You know, the training camp, up and down, up and down.
Yes, it has.
Up and down.
But there has been up and down is the key, but the ups have been pretty good, and I think the ups have been better than what we saw last year.
When you've got a young quarterback.
You need him.
And you're the 6'7" tight end, man, you need to be there.
And if he is there, with the way the receivers are developing, if he is there, all of a sudden you go from a team last year that struggled everywhere in the passing game to a team that has some legitimate options and some reliable options. But he's a key in this offense, there's no question.
Because blocking in camp, it's not up and down. It's the hands that have been a little bit up and down. The route running, a little up and down. You know, I just think that, you know, he's at that point where you've got to be the leader and step up.
Real quick, we got about 30 seconds. Jeff, what one thing you're looking at Friday night in New Orleans?
Well, if Eugene Monroe plays, the battle Will Smith versus Eugene Monroe. I think that's a great, great matchup.
Brian?
I wish Darren Sproles was playing because this team couldn't touch him last year when he was here.
Oh, Blackman.
I'll be looking at Gabbard again. I look forward to seeing him progress even more during your second game.
And Andre Branch.
Yeah, we'll be watching that. But the one thing is, I was so excited when I saw week one. I expect even a bigger step from Blaine Gabbert. I'm excited to watch the passing game.
All right. That'll do it. Don't forget, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, Friday night from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Good night, everybody.
Finally, all the talk is over. Finally.